Jesus. Welcome, everyone. Good morning. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for joining us on here this morning. Our message today, the cry of the righteous unto the Lord. That's right. Well, this cry we also made today is it's a good cry. Listen to today's message. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you. As always, the entrance of your word, it brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Now let that light shine in our hearts on here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The psalmist, he put this out there talking about the cry of the righteous. You know, let's take a look at what does that even mean? You know, the cry of the righteous unto the Lord. Well, we're going to talk about it this morning. We're going to pour out our hearts before the Lord. You know, praise the Lord. In the book of Psalm 34, the psalmist, he expressed, you know, this thing that is in his heart. And he said, look, you know, many times he would say it in different places. You know, like I cried unto the Lord and so forth, you know, and said, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Psalm 34 and verse 15, and his ears are open unto their cry. You know, so there is a cry of the righteous. And the Lord said his eyes are upon them and his ears are open to their cry. Praise the Lord. Now, the ears of the Lord are always open to the cry of the righteous. Now, so let's remember that. And also verses 17 to 19 of the same chapter, Psalm 34 says that the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You know, I want to talk about sorrow of heart this morning and the antidote for it. You know, and many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. You know, many are the afflictions. You know, from I have been hearing this thing since I was a young man. My dad used to quote this all the time. I didn't understand it. It was like, you know, why should the righteous be afflicted? You know, and why should his, you know, his affliction be many? But the Lord, the end of it all, though, is the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And that's the beauty of it. Now, everybody in this world will be afflicted one way or another. You know, but, you know, the Lord will deliver the righteous. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord said when he was talking to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, you know, there's a principle here that is important for us to understand. Exodus chapter 3, Moses appeared, before the Lord, the burning bush and all of that. And the Lord will send him back, you know, back to Egypt. On a mission to deliver the children of Israel. And here's what the Lord said to him, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. Now notice how the Lord said it. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now, the sorrows that come upon the people of God from time to time. The Lord said, I know it, and I've come to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and so forth. But look at the way he put it. He saw the affliction of the people, you know, and he heard their cry. You know, when we are afflicted and we don't cry unto the Lord, you know, maybe you'll be afflicted for a long time. But you need to cry unto the Lord, you know. It is the cry unto the Lord. Now, the affliction may bring you to a place where you have to cry. But it is the cry, not exactly just the affliction. People who are afflicted, they don't cry unto the Lord and so forth. They try to do it on their own. Well, you know, maybe you get delivered, maybe you won't. But when you cry unto the Lord, hallelujah, that cry, you know, see, for many years, hundreds of years, they were afflicted in Egypt. You know, and at first, they just, you know, maybe they would just took it as, you know, it is what it is. But after a while, it's like, look, enough of this already. And they began to cry unto the Lord. Now, when they began to cry unto the Lord, something began to happen. Their cry began to come unto the Lord. And he said, look, I've seen their affliction, which they've been afflicted by the people and the children of, the people of Egypt afflicted my people many years, 400 years. But now they're crying unto me. And their cry has come into my ears, and I'm ready to do something. Now, see, that's how the crying of the righteous works. You know, it's not just the affliction, but the cry that greatly gets to God. You know, so when you are afflicted, here's a prescription. You know, James, he gave his own prescription too. He said, look, you know, if you are merry, he said, well, then you should sing songs. And if you are afflicted, you know, then you should pray. But do you know that when people are afflicted, unfortunately, many times, rather than for them to pray, well, what do they do? Well, let's read it in James chapter 5. Here is the prescription. Is any among you afflicted? James chapter 5 verse 13. Let him pray. That's what he said. That's the prescription. Now, it's not when you are afflicted, you know, sink into sorrow, grab a gallon of chocolate ice cream, call your friend, do all of these things which people do. No. When you are afflicted, turn to the Lord with prayer. That's the prescription. If any man is afflicted, well, whatever your affliction may be, turn to the Lord in prayer. In fact, Solomon, when he was dedicating the temple, he prayed a similar prayer. He said, look, when your people are afflicted, you know, when they are, you know, when there's either the pestilence or the blasting or the mildew or affliction or torment or oppression or anything, if your people have come in here, raise their hands in this place to the Lord, then let the Lord hear from heaven. Praise God. You know, so when you are afflicted, you know, by sorrow of heart, and I'm going to talk about that in a bit. When you're afflicted by sorrow of heart, what must you do? Pray. It's what you must do. That's the prescription. And if you are merry, well, sing songs and rejoice and praise the Lord. But look, affliction, you know, these are things that are there. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14, he said, look, in the day of prosperity, the day when you are merry, well, rejoice. But also remember, in the day of adversity or affliction, you have to consider. It's because these two things will go side by side. You know, said the Lord has put them side by side, you know, to the end that we must always, you know, look, find nothing besides him. Let your eyes be on the Lord. The Lord wants us to trust him. That's why he put the night and the day side by side. From the beginning, he left the darkness in place. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness, but he never really rebuked the darkness. He didn't say, let the darkness be no more. If he had said that, we would never have had any more darkness. But he didn't. All he said was, let there be light. And there was light. And he left the darkness in place. As a matter of fact, he gave a name to the darkness. He called it night. And the Lord looked at it and said, you know, well, everything looked good. Well, there is a purpose for the night. You know, because when there is the night, then there is the day for you to look forward to. As it is said in Psalm 30 and verse 5. It says, sorrow may endure for a night. So think of that night as a time of affliction. But joy is coming in the morning. Glory to God. Now I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, household of faith, that no affliction and no sorrow can last forever. Hallelujah. Because there is no night that can last forever. The evening and the morning, or the first day, and so on. There's always a cutoff time. There's a time for everything. And but look, when you're going through those afflictions, it may seem like forever, but it's not forever. It's never forever. The book of Proverbs, chapter 23, and verse 18 will tell you that it is not forever. And it can never be forever. Whatever affliction that you may be going through, or anyone is going through at any time, there is surely an end. Glory to God. for there is surely an end, and your expectation shall not be cut off. That's Proverbs 23:18. There is surely an end, and God is going to bring something to come to pass for you, but you must cry unto the Lord. Now David said, I cried unto the Lord in my distress. Well, that's right. That's how you do it. You know, you cry unto the Lord in your distress. You don't need to cry to any man, you know, but you cry unto the Lord. And the Lord, he will hear you. Let's take a look at how David, how he prayed this prayer in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 7. You know, how did he say it? He said, well, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried to my God and he did hear my voice. Now, that's a good thing. Out of his temple and my cry. Now that's a cry of the righteous. Did enter into his ears. Now let's see what the Lord did for David. My goodness. Now, this is the cry of the righteous. This is the cry of a man whose heart is after the Lord. You know, and this is someone that knows how to walk that praise. You know, and David, he knew how to walk the Lord's praise. And he knew how to praise the Lord. He would say of the Lord, say, I will say of the Lord. I mean, it's like, I have a very big God. You know, I will say of the Lord. You know, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. He's my shield and he's my buckler. He is my song. He's my salvation. He's my hiding place. I mean, he knew how to call out the Lord. And when he did it, that's how the Lord responded. The Lord responded by the earth shaking. He said, the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the heaven were moved and shook because God was wrath. He looked and said, my son is afflicted. I'm coming to his rescue. There went out a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. The Lord bowed down the heavens and came down, and darkness was upon his feet, and he rode upon the cherub and did fly. He was seen upon the wings of the wind. And I said, can your prayer do that? Do you have this kind of power with God? Well, sure. Absolutely. The Lord is not a respecter of persons. If you know how to praise the Lord, you know how to live a life of worship, you know, and then when you are afflicted, you cry unto the Lord, he'll do the same for you. He'll come unto you, you know, and he can blast with his nostrils. My goodness. I mean, look at the Lord making pavilions, darkness making, you know, brightness, coals of fire, thundering from heaven. They said the Lord thundered from the heaven. The Most High uttered his voice. He sent out his arrows. He scattered all my enemies. Set out lightning and discomfited them. Channels of the seas appear. Foundations of the... I mean, all of this because of one man's prayer? My goodness. This is a man that knows how to get a hold of the Lord, you know. My goodness. And he knew how to do it. He said, the Lord sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters, you know. Said, got me out of the miry clay. Put my feet on the rock. Put a new song in my mouth. Now, that's his testimony. Now, what is your testimony when you are in distress? What's your testimony? Well, you can have the same kind of testimony. He said in Psalm 3, verses 3 and 4, same kind of thing, you know. I mean, he was always, and he, you know, he was someone that was acquainted with a lot of trouble too. But he knew how to lift up his voice unto the Lord. But thou, O Lord, art a shield unto me. This is the kind of prayer that he always prayed. I'm a shield. The Lord is a shield unto me. It's my covering, you know. He will cover me and so on. You know, my glory and the lift that up of my head. Now, when you tell God these kinds of things, he'll rise up and he'll do it. You know, and I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Now, is that your testimony? Can you cry unto the Lord? The Lord asked Job, canst thou lift up your voice on high and cause these things to happen? Yeah, you can. You know, if you know how to walk his praise and you walk in righteousness and the life of true worship, when you now get into distress, you call upon the Lord, he will come to your rescue. There was a woman and a story that we are told in 1 Samuel, you know, chapter 3. And we see this story, you know, that, you know, it was, you know, so a woman that was just in distress. She was distressed. She couldn't have a child, you know, and her husband had another wife. And, you know, so she was in sorrow, you know, sorrow of heart. So let's read her story in 1 Samuel chapter 2. It's called, her name is called Anna. And she would be later become the mother of Samuel, you know. But at first, you know, she wasn't having any child. And she was distressed. And there's all kinds of things going on. And she was in sorrow. You know, and when she was in sorrow, you can read in 1 Samuel chapter 1. He said she was in bitterness of her soul. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10. Bitterness of soul. My goodness. Sorrow of heart. You know, she was in sorrow of heart. She wouldn't even eat for a while. You know, her husband even told her, you know, why are you sorrowful? Why are you saddened? Why are you, you know, countenance falling and so forth? Rise and eat and so on. You know, am I not better than to you than 10 sons? No. The woman wanted a child. You're not, you look, you know, she had sorrow of heart. Her adversary, the other woman, you know, also made fun of her. You know, because, you know, I mean, you know, well, I've borne my husband one or two child. What have you done? You're not giving him any child. And that's the thing. And so she continually, she was in sorrow of heart. You know, and then when she went to the Lord, she went to the Lord in prayer. You know, he said that it was so by year, she went out of the house of the Lord. You know, her adversary provoked her. So she wept and she didn't eat. You know, the devil may provoke you. You know, they say, where is your God? You know, so whatever it is you're going through that, you know, you're serious. Maybe the Lord has answered a lot of prayers. You know, but this one thing, it seems like it just lingered. And so it brings sorrow of heart, you know. And, but this woman, she knew the right thing to do. You know, she went to the, she wasn't crying exactly to her husband. She was crying to the Lord. And she went to the house of the Lord and began to cry. Whereupon Eli saw her because she was crying. It was sorrow of heart, but she, words were not coming up out of her mouth. But she was praying in her heart and was very sorrowful. Whereupon Eli saw her and thought she had been drunken and said, woman, how long till you put away your wine and so forth? And the woman said, look, don't count me as a daughter of Belial. I'm not any such thing. It's a sorrow of my heart. You know, I'm distressed. I cry unto the Lord. And the man said, oh, wow. You know, well, the Lord hear you then. Praise God. The Lord hear you and return even your petition into your bosom and answer you with good tidings. Praise the Lord. And she said, amen. And then she was, you know, there was a lifting up to her. But she had sorrow of heart. She had sorrow of heart. Now, sorrow of heart is not a good thing. You know, so, but let me put it to you this way. When your soul is sore distressed, you must cry unto the Lord with all your heart. And he will hear you. Praise the Lord. You know, we read that already in James chapter 5, verse 13. You know, we must pray. The Lord, even the Lord Jesus, you know, one time we're told that, you know, his soul was so distressed. You know, he said in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 38. I mean, there was a lot of things that he was going through. Remember that Jesus was a man of sorrows and afflicted with grief, according to Isaiah 53 and verse 3. He's a man of sorrows. You know, he was, I mean, all this sorrow, just looking at people just, you know, like sheep that are going without a shepherd many times, that people don't understand anything. They were groping in darkness. And his mission, you know, he had a mission. And then so, you know, bring them back, you know, and so forth, you know. Introduce the kingdom and bring them back and pay the ransom. But his heart was a heart of sorrow most of the time because he saw all the things that were going on and around the people. And, you know, and in Matthew 26 and verse 38, you know, his soul, you know, being exceedingly, you know, sorrowful. Yeah, sorrowful. But what did he do when he was, you know, sorrowful? You know, he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. You know, Matthew 26 and 38. But what did he do? Well, he went and prayed, you know, and that's what he did. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he prayed in Luke 22, the way Luke, you know, described it, in Luke 22 and verse 44, you know, when he left that, you know, he said, look, you stay here and pray. And he went and prayed. And he prayed. I mean, his soul was sorrowful. He knew it was going to be made darkness. And that means separation from the Father. And so that was something, my goodness, his soul was sorrowful. And he began to pray. But he prayed. He prayed in some kind of prayer. Now that was some prayer. Because sweat like blood was coming out of his brow. And according to Luke 22 and 44. I mean, he prayed until he was sweating blood. My goodness. Can you pray that kind of prayer? He was going for the pearl of gold. The pearl of great price. And he got it too. Hallelujah. That's why we are here today. Jesus went all the way. And he prayed. His heart was sorrowful. His soul was sorrowful. But he turned unto the Lord and he prayed. You know, and when he prayed, the Bible said, look, he prayed with strong prayer. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, describing the same thing, he said, look, this man, he was the Son of God, and God heard him, you know, already, but, you know, when his soul was sorrowful, he prayed, you know, with strong crying unto the Lord. You know, listen to this in Hebrews chapter 5, you know, talking about, you know, how Christ was ordained as a priest after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days, verse 7, of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying unto and tears, that's right, and sweat of blood, I might add, unto him that was able to save him from death, you know, and so forth. Well, you know, but he had to go through it. He knew it. Nevertheless, my will, not my will, but yours be done. And he had to go through it, you know, and he was heard in that he feared, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. But look at how, you know, he prayed with strong crying in order to become the captain of our salvation. He did it too. And the Lord was pleased with him. Hallelujah. The Lord God, you know, he perfect sacrifice one time and it's all done. Amen. Now he became the author of eternal salvation. So then that come unto God by, you know, through Christ. You know, we got it now. He paid the price. Praise the Lord. Now, when we have a sorrow of heart, we need to pray. We need to turn unto the God. You know, the psalmist, look at, let's read some of his expressions in Psalm 102. I mean, there are times when you feel all alone, you know, and you just feel like a pelican in the wilderness. You feel like an owl in the desert. You feel like a sparrow on the housetop, you know, you feel all alone. You know, one time Jesus, in this prayer that we were talking about, he was all alone, you know, in the garden of Gethsemane, he was all alone. And I guarantee you, every one of us, you have those moments. What is your garden of Gethsemane where you think you're all alone? And you will be all alone. Everybody might decide it's your problem, you know, and your friends may be nowhere, you know, your closest friends, his closest, you know, associates. You know, they were not there with him. You know, my goodness. Peter, James, and John, the closest ones. He always took them to different places. But this time around, they fell asleep. They left him all alone. He had to fight that fight on his own. And he come on there and said, pray with me for an hour. You know, and they wouldn't do it. They themselves were sorrowful. The Bible says they had sorrow of heart because he kept saying, oh, I'm going away, I'm going away. And they fell asleep through so much sorrow. But they should have been praying. If they would have been praying for the Christ, you know, maybe it would have taken Jesus only 1 hour instead of 3 hours or whatever long. Because he came back 3 times. They're still sleeping. He went again. And they're still sleeping. He went again. They're still sleeping. You know, if they would have been praying with him, might have maybe got in there and helped him. You know, might have taken him maybe shorter. You know, our prayers, you know, can help. You know, finally, an angel had to come in there and strengthen him. The people that should have strengthened it, Peter, James, and John, they didn't do it. They slept. So the Lord sent an angel to strengthen him. You know, and he prayed. He prayed and he prayed. And my goodness, you know, the Lord heard him too because, you know, he cried unto God. He cried for that pearl of gold of great price. you know, and he was going to get every last one of them. And that's you in here today. And the Lord, he paid that price. And he got it too. He told the devil, you know, I got a plan. The devil said, well, I'll give you this. And he said, no way. He had a plan in his heart. Slain before the world began. He knew what he had to do. And he went for it. But, you know, his heart was sorrowful. But he cried unto the Lord. And he cried unto God. And my goodness, you know, so when you feel, you know, like there's nothing going on, you feel all alone. You know, here's what he said in Psalm 102. This is how he described it. He said, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. You know, hide not thy face from me in the day when I'm in trouble. Let your, you know, incline your ear unto me in the day when I call upon you. Answer me speedily, he prayed. He said, for my days are consumed like the smoke. Now, this man, I mean, he thought, you know, everything was dark around him. My days are consumed like smoke. My bones are burned as an hurt. My heart is smitten, withered like the grass. So that's sorrow of heart. That's what it does to people. I forget to even eat my bread. I lose their appetite and so forth. By reason of the voice of my groaning, even my bones cleave to my skin. I'm like a pelican in the wilderness. I'm like an owl in the desert. You know, I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop. You know, do you feel all alone sometimes? You feel like there's no answer coming from God. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, well, you know, I just feel all alone. Enemies, he said, reproach me all day. They are mad against me, are sworn against me. I've eaten the ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Ah, he said, look, all of these things come upon me. My days are like a shadow. You know, my goodness, that declineth. I am withered like the grass. Well, when you feel like this, what should you do? Well, you turn to the Lord. And this man said, but thou, O Lord, shall endure forever. And I remember, so to all generations, thou shall arise. You know, and so he began to encourage himself. The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. He knew how to do it. You know, he would cry unto the Lord. I mean, he cried. In the story in Ziklag, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, first 6 verses, they all cried. They cried until there was no strength left in them. You know, I mean, when they came back and found that, you know, my goodness, Amalekites are coming there, stricken the place, you know, and carried away their wives and children captive. They all cried until there was no strength in them. You know, they even talked of stoning David because they followed David to the war that didn't concern them. And they said, look, it's because of you that all these are befalling us. And they wanted to stone him. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. We're told in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. He encouraged himself. You know, he said in Psalm 42, my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Huh. You know, he said, well, why are you gloomy on today? He said, I will yet praise the Lord. You know, I will yet rejoice in the light of his countenance. You know, I know he will help me, he said. You know, well, so sometimes you get up in the morning and you are all gloomy and sad and sorrow of heart and so forth. What are you going to do then? You know, and we're all going to have these days. Some of you are going through even right now. What are you going to do when you have sorrow of heart? You turn unto the Lord. Praise God. That's right. And rather than, you know, give in to all that gloominess and so forth, you cry unto the Lord. You know, and it's a good thing to cry unto the Lord. It's a great thing. Cry! If you have to cry bitterly until that's okay. You know, it's unto the Lord. You know, when you finish, you come out of there. You know, you look at that mirror and you say, no, we're not doing any more of that gloomy stuff today. Today, the Lord is my glory and the lifter of my head. Hallelujah. You know, I'm done with that. I got my victory. Praise God. You know, it's good to cry unto the Lord, but then, you know, you must be assured that the Lord has heard you. He said, look, I feel like I'm left all alone, a sparrow on the housetop, a pelican in the wilderness, an owl in the desert. My days decline like a shadow. Well, that's the time to praise the Lord. That's the time to cry unto the Lord. I mean, the groaning, he said, even groaning of a prisoner, you know, and so forth, you know, all these things. But it's the time to cry unto the Lord. Now, here's what we're going to do this morning. I want you to know that the Lord, his ears are open. You know, he said, this is the, let's read Isaiah 57 verse 15. The Lord said, look, when you have a brokenness of heart, he's right there by you. You know, he said, look, he will never forsake the cry of the righteous. He's got a plan. His ears are always open and he knows how to deliver the righteous. Hallelujah. Isaiah 57 and verse 15 says, for thus saith the Lord, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You know, so, you know, contrition sometimes will bring us closer to God. Sorrow of heart and even bring us closer to God. You know, Isaiah chapter 62 verse 2 says similar things. The Lord said, look, I'm the one that created the heavens and the earth. Well, you know, what else will you give me? Where's the place of that you'll be for me? But this is the man to whom I will look in Isaiah 66 and 2. He that is of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. You know, that sorrow, you know, sometimes it will bring us closer to God. And that it should bring us closer to God. Jesus gave a promise though. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, he gave a promise on the so-called Sermon on the Mount. And he was talking about this in verse 4. He said, blessed are they that mourn, those that have sorrow of heart at the moment. He said, for they shall be comforted. And Jesus told his disciples, he said, look, you know, you have sorrow now, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Hallelujah. Well, you cry unto the Lord in the days of sorrow. In the hour of darkness, when you feel all alone, when you feel like the voice of God is nowhere, you know, well, then you remember what he told you in the light. That's right. That mountains and valleys, when you are in the mountain, you are hearing the voice of God, everything is cool. You know, and then you go down to the valley and you will go to those valleys. There's just no way you can stay on the mountain forever. It's mountains and valleys throughout life. When you are in the valley, it's like, my goodness, where is my God? Make no tiring, oh my God. Hear me, oh God. And it's like you're crying. It's like he's nowhere to be heard or found, you know, but he's right there. It's closer than your breath. You know, but, you know, he'll put us through those things, you know, allow us to go through those testings and trials for the strengthening of our faith, you know, and see what, you know, what you're made of. Hallelujah. Are you going to quit when the going gets tough? Or are you going to cry unto the Lord? You know, and so you remember, you know, when you are in those valleys, that the God of the mountain is still God with you in the valley. The things that he told you when you are in the light, now that you seem like you can't hear his voice, Holy Spirit will bring them to your remembrance. And you will remember how that he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you go through the valley, I'll be right there with you. Fire or whatever, you know, water or whatever. Isaiah 43 and 2, no matter what you're going through, I'll be right there with you. Glory to God. And I'm bringing you out on the other side. That testimony, you know, that was in the heart of the psalmist. He knew that no matter what he went through, he said it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, I'm coming out on the other side. But that's what passing through means. I am passing through and I am coming out on the other side, you know, and he will be with me, he said. You know, I said his rod and his staff will comfort me. Psalm 23 and verse 4. No matter what the situation is, I know I'm coming out on the other side. That's what the Lord said in Isaiah 43 too. Also, he said, when you pass through, yeah, passing through means you're coming out on the other side. When you pass through, well, I will be there with you. So what are you passing through right now? Don't think of it as if you are in something. You are only passing through. If you go into the valley of the shadow of death, that's a dead end when you go into it. But when you pass through it, prophetically by faith, you're coming out already on the other side. Hallelujah. You know, so see yourself as only passing through. Glory to God. But we must cry unto the Lord. Now, cry unto the Lord is what we must do this morning. And I'm going to read the words of Isaiah in chapter 54 unto us, and we're going to use that to pray on here this morning. The cry of the righteous. We're going to pray this morning. Isaiah chapter 54. You know, it's a powerful, poetic and prophetic rendition, you know, of encouragement that he gave here. Hallelujah. And he said, look, sing, O barren, thou that is not here or bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that is not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. You know, as we go through this, there are many things that this chapter will call out. You know, what is your travail? What is the pain and the sorrow of your heart? You know, it's all called out in this place. Sing, O barren, he said. You know, the Lord will call it out too. Enlarge the place of your tent. You know, begin to prepare for your children. Hallelujah. Stretch forth the place of your habitations and so forth. You know, and he said, look, fear not, thou shalt not be ashamed. My goodness, I love that. Neither shalt thou be confounded. You will not be put to shame. And you will forget even the shame of the past. You will not remember the reproach of your widowhood. Well, you know, maybe your husband put you out, you know, and divorce and so forth. Well, thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. And I said, look, I will call you. You know, yeah, you may look like a woman forsaken right now. He said, for the Lord hath called thee, even as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, the wife of you. Well, when you were refused, when they put you out, the Lord said, well, I will gather you with tender mercies. Glory to God. For a small moment, I forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. In a little rock, I hid my face. And that's even when we are troubled because of unrighteousness. You know, the psalmist said, you know, he said, you know, before I was afflicted, I went astray. In Psalm 119, he went astray because he was afflicted. Was afflicted because he went astray and so on. So he said here, he said here, look, no matter what we're going through, whether it was affliction from the devil, you know, or a buffeting from the Lord, it doesn't really matter. The Lord said, look, I'm going to gather you with tender mercies. He says, as the waters of Noah unto me, as I've sworn, and the waters of Noah shall no longer go over the earth. So I have sworn that I will not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. You know, for the mountains shall depart. I love this one. The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. And, you know, sometimes the devil will come and say, well, you know, you are in this situation because of what you've done or what you didn't do. Doesn't matter. The Lord said, my kindness will not depart from you. The psalmist, he acknowledged his sin. He said, look, before I was afflicted, I went astray. That's why, you know, these things come upon me. Well, that may not be your situation. You know, one time they asked Jesus, he said, why was this man born blind? John chapter 9. He said, well, you know, was it his parents that sinned or was it him? Jesus said, no. It was neither his parents nor him, but that the works of God. Glory to God. The works of God might be made manifest in him. That's what happened. In Job, all the things he went through, the afflictions and the different trials, it wasn't because he was sin. He was in sin. But the Lord said, have you seen my servant Job? And the Lord bragged about him, that there is none like him, righteous man, you know, one that escheweth evil and feareth the Lord and so forth like that. You know, but that old devil, he come up against him and said, well, you know, isn't it because you've, you know, surrounded him with restfulness and blessings all around? You take away all of that, he'll curse you to your face. But Job didn't do it. Praise the Lord. You know, so it's not always because of something we did wrong. It could be whatever. You know, and even if we did do something wrong, we don't call him a redeemer for nothing. He's a king's man redeemer. He knows how to redeem all of that. So never mind that. Never mind the reason why you are in the situation that you are in. But you cry unto the Lord. You know, that's what we want to do here this morning. Oh, thou afflicted, he said. Tossed with the tempest and not comforted. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fire colors and thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows of our gates and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Now, all the things that are oppressing you and so forth, bringing sorrow of heart, the Lord said you will not fear. You know, God's going to remove it. And everything that's gathered against you that said, aha, aha, you know, the Lord said, well, they may gather, but they will fall for thy sake. Hallelujah. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Now, there are many weapons. Pharaoh, he formed the weapon of oppression. He said, let there be more burdens laid in upon them because they are idle. They're idle. They said, well, you are going to serve the Lord because, you know, they have time. Well, add more burdens on them. That's a weapon to oppress them, to make sure they don't have time to praise the Lord. Well, it could be more, whatever it is, let there be more bills. Let them have more bills. Let them, student, let them have more exams, you know. Parents, well, let their children, you know, get into trouble and so forth. I mean, let their heart, you know, wives, let their husband be stricken or sick and they're running up and down. Whatever it is, you know, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, saith the Lord. Glory to God. You know, the devil, he'll form all of these things. And everything that rises against you, and the devil say, where is your God and so forth? You condemn it in the name of Jesus. But the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, we're going to pray. I want you to begin to cry unto the Lord. If you have sorrow of heart on here this morning, the thing to do is to cry unto the Lord. And I'm going to pray, you know, for people in the house here this morning too. Hallelujah. You know, and, you know, there may be a lot of good things. We've experienced a lot of good things in our lives and so forth. But there's this one thing. It's like Hannah, you know. I mean, Hannah was, you know, restful and everything. Her husband, they were all doing well. But there was this one thing, you know, that was the sorrow of heart for her. And, what is your sorrow of heart? What is the thing that aileth you? You know, why is your countenance falling even on this day? Let's cry unto the Lord. The cry of the righteous will enter into his ears. And the Lord, he knows how to deliver the righteous. The Lord does that too. Praise God. Well, let's come unto the Lord this morning. Let's call upon the Lord. The psalmist said, I call upon the Lord and he heard me and inclined his ears unto my cry. My ear, my cry entered into his ears. Do you believe that the Lord will hear you when you pray? Hallelujah. Now, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is and is a rewarder. You know, when you cry diligently unto the Lord, you must believe that the Lord, he will answer you. And when you hear a word of encouragement such as this, Hannah, all she heard, you know, from Eli was, look, the Lord will look kindly upon you. The Lord will remember you in your low estate. Now go, you know, and be of good cheer. And the Lord hear you. And, you know, she just heard that word of encouragement. And the next thing you know, she went home. She was gladdening in her heart. And my goodness. And the Lord, he backed up that word. Praise God. Now, I'm going to speak the word of encouragement over everyone that's in trouble today. Your heart is troubled. I speak in the name of the Lord. Peace, be still. You know, Jesus, he spoke to the storm. And he said, let the storm be calm. He just said, he rebuked the storm. He said, peace, be still. And the people said, what manner of man is this? Well, there are storms of life come up against you. The thing that make you sorrowful in your heart. I come against that thing in the name of the Lord, even on here this morning. I rebuke it. Now, by rebuking, I say, let there be a calmness. Let there be peace around you. And let the sorrow of heart be lifted in the name of Jesus Christ. And now, you know, some of you struggle with some things. He said, look, the Lord gave a word. He said in Isaiah 62, I will no longer cause, you know, your corn to be meat for your enemies, for the which you have labored. But you that have labored it and gathered, you will eat it of it, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. And he said, look, you will no longer be termed forsaken. You will no longer be called desolate, but your new name will be Hephzibah and Beulah. For I, the Lord, have delighted in you, and you will be married. You know, I, the Lord, is the one that changed your story. Glory to God. Now, what is your story this morning? Praise the Lord. Remember, Jesus, we talked through this when we did the kingdom series, operating as a king in his kingdom, or really as the king. He says to you, ask me anything and I'll do it for you. Well, ask me anything and I will do it for you. I call upon the Lord this morning. Father, we call upon you and your children call upon you, Lord. Hear our prayers on here this morning. Let the burdens be lifted. Now, the Bible says that the covering that is cast over all the people, over all the earth, will be broken. Now, there's a spirit of heaviness that is cast over the people at times. I command it to be lifted and broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Through the word of God and through the word of admonition and encouragement here this morning, receive strength and receive grace. And know that you're not all alone, but you must cry unto the Lord and the Lord will hear you. The Lord will hear you because he already done it. You know, he's finished it. He said it is finished on the cross. You know, call unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What is your, you know, the heaviness that's upon you today? You know, what is that one thing that you would want the Lord to do for you? Jesus said, you know, you need to keep on praying until your joy is full. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I pray for all your children, all the wonderful brothers and sisters and the people of the kingdom of God that are on here this morning, either listening in or will hear the replays later. I pray, let the voice, you know, go out. Let the voice of my word and the speech in here go out. You say, you know, let, you know, my word be like the pen of a ready writer to know how to answer every man. And I pray, Lord, that my words will bring encouragement to people on here this morning. You know, let there be a lifting up where there is a downcasting. In the name of Jesus. Now let that heaviness be lifted. And it will be lifted through praise. The Bible says, I will give you the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Now, so let the people praise the Lord. Now you cry unto the Lord and you mingle it with praises and the Lord will break that thing. I will break the Assyrian in my land, saith the Lord. And it shall come to pass that his burden shall be taken out of your shoulder and the burden shall be lifted because of the anointing. Hallelujah. Now, the anointing of the Lord that's present in this room this morning, let him break the spirit of the Assyrian that's putting that burden and that oppressing spirit upon you. Let him break it here this morning in Jesus' name. Now, we may go through stuff, but we don't have to be burdened. We don't have to be oppressed. We don't have to be depressed. You know, let your head be lifted up. Lift up your heads on here this morning, O ye gates, and let the King of glory come on in. Father, I thank you for your children, the victory that is in Christ for them. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.